Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
In the Senate bill, it says you must offer insurance policies that will be paid for by the federal government that covers abortion. You must do so.
There is no federal money paying for abortions. The Senate bill does not provide any federal funding for abortion.
That is Democratic Congressman Bart Stupak and Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius disagreeing on whether or not there is required federal funding for abortion in the health care reform bill as it stands. And of course, we enter a time of some legislative wrangling. The president has said he wants the bill on his desk by March 18th. Will that bill or will that bill not include federal funding for abortion? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Monday, March the 8th. We're going to be talking about these statements made by Kathleen Sebelius and how the bill goes forward for the next few minutes of Issues Etc. Now, before we bring on our guest, Dr. Charmaine Yost, let's hear this interchange yesterday between David Gregory of Meet the Press and Kathleen Sebelius on NBC.
The issue of abortion is one that has 12 Democrats who voted yes for the bill in the House previously saying that they're going to vote no now. Leading that charge is Bart Stupak. He's from Michigan, an anti-abortion congressman who doesn't want any federal money paying for abortion. And this is what he said about the current status of the bill.
In the Senate bill, and that's what they're telling us the vehicle we're using. In the Senate bill, it says you must offer insurance policies that will be paid for by the federal government that covers abortion. You must do so. Also, in that same language, if you come in the Senate version, in the OPM, Office of Personnel Management, policies they'll be putting forth, you must pay, every enrollee must pay $1 per month into a fund to help fund abortions. It's very clear.
Will you make the fix that he's talking about so that there's no federal money paying for abortions?
Well, there is no federal money paying for abortions, and that's just not my statement. It is what, you know, a legal analyst who has looked at the Senate bill, it's what the fact checkers who look at the statements say. I don't think there's any disagreement. Bart Stupak and Congressman Stupak and the president want health reform. He has been a strong member of Energy and Commerce. He has worked on health reform issues over the years, and he supports the president's notion about this. Congressman Stupak and the president agree that there should be no federal funding for abortion. And I think at the end of the day,
But they don't agree about how you're getting there. So what needs to be done to take him? He used to be a yes vote. He's now a no vote. How does he become a yes vote again?
Well, I think people will continue to talk to him. I think that that there is no question.
Just to try to persuade him
mind,
that he's wrong?
Well, I think there's no question that the Senate bill does not provide any federal funding for abortion. But at the end of the day, I think that we'll get to the point that there's agreement that there's no federal funding on abortion.
So he's just misinformed.
Well, I think he's misinformed about what the Senate language actually does. But he wants comprehensive health reform. I know that he has this principled issue. The president said from the outset, this is about health reform. It is not about abortion. We don't want to change the status quo. There are very clear rules that apply across the board on federal funding for abortion coverage, and that's what we'll have at the end of the day.
All right, we will leave it there. Secretary Sebelius, thank you very much, as always.
Joining us to talk about this, Dr. Charmaine Yost is president of Americans United for Life. Dr. Yost, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, good to be with you.
All right. Is Kathleen Sebelius correct when she says that pro-life Democrats like Bart Stupak are simply uninformed or misinformed about the contents of the Senate health care reform bill regarding federal funding for abortion?
Well, the funny thing of it is, Todd, is if they're misinformed, maybe it's because they were listening to the secretary in December when she was talking about the federal funding for abortion that's included in the Senate bill. Maybe she's just saying different things because she was talking to different audiences. But in December, she herself talked about the fact that the bill does include abortion funding when she was talking to an audience of the abortion lobby.
So how is she able to say there's no federal funding here, and at the same time, others like Bart Stupak are saying, no, but funding, even small amounts of funding, are going to be required in this bill?
Well, because she's been given her marching orders to sell this thing at all costs. And I think it's just really fascinating because, you know, we're down at the end game, and they are going to say anything, promise anything to get this thing passed. And, you know, doesn't it beg the question, why don't they just come right out and admit what the bill does? The reason they won't is because they know that the American people are not with them on this issue. Even people who call themselves pro-choice don't want to see their money going to subsidize abortion.
She seemed unwilling to go head-to-head with pro-life Democrats, saying they really agree with the president more than they think they do. Why do you think she's taking that strategy?
It's all spin. It's just they know that it's coming down to a yes or no vote, and they just have to want to get the thing through, so they're willing. I mean, there's just not a polite way to say that they're willing to say anything to get this bill passed.
Does it surprise you that it's come down to abortion? Of all the provisions in this bill that could hold it up, all the other things about health care reform that have people worried, whatever they may be, does it surprise you that abortion is the issue that's finally the snag when it comes down to the wire?
No, it really doesn't. In fact, I almost wish I'd put money down or something on it, because last summer we were telling people, look, this is going to be one of the biggest political conflagrations you've ever seen, and it's going to come down to the abortion issue. This was so predictable. We knew that the abortion lobby had promises from the president that he was going to make turning abortion into fundamental, health care, one of the top priorities of his administration. He was on record saying that was one of the first things he was going to do. So we knew that this was going to be a centerpiece of his agenda. We also knew that it was something we planned to fight to the bitter, bitter end. And there's not any real compromise. They're trying to say that, you're wanting to find some sort of logical rationale for what she's saying when that's impossible. Understandable as it is to look for that, the rationale that they keep coming up with are various different accounting schemes and things like that, because they want to present this as a compromise to people. But there's a real binary result when you're talking about funding or not funding. It's either yes or no, black or white. There's no gray here when it comes to people subsidizing abortion.
So make the case twofold. One, why, contrary to what the president has promised to pro-choice forces, why isn't abortion to be considered basic fundamental health care? And two, why shouldn't taxpayers chip in a little to support it?
Well, that's an interesting question, and let me refer back to a congresswoman who asked that exact question, Congressman Lynn Woolsey from California. They were debating this question way back in September or October on the House floor, and she got really exasperated, and she goes, why, and I'm paraphrasing here, she says, I just don't understand. Why are we even debating this issue? We're not talking about whether or not you're going to subsidize tonsillectomies, whether or not you're going to reimburse payment for tonsillectomies. It goes to a very different conception of what healthcare is, what abortion is. They would like to put abortion on the same moral plane as a tonsillectomy or some other minor medical procedure. And for millions of Americans across this country, both pro-life and pro-choice, self-described, both, it's far more than a minor medical procedure. It is one of the great human rights issues of our day.
And why is that? Why do you frame it as a human rights issue?
Well, the truth of the matter is they'd like to airbrush the baby out of the picture. They want to see this as an issue that that is only about the woman and her health care choices, as they always frame it, between a woman and her doctor. They want the American people to look away from the fact that there's a second patient involved. When it comes time to having a baby, let's say you have a baby that's premature. There's that gorgeous, gorgeous picture of the baby that was operated on. Do you remember that, Todd?
Yeah.
And the baby reached out from the womb and grasped the hand of his physician. You know, that never fails to stir the heart of almost every person looking at that picture, because we know it's a baby, that and science and the medical community works so hard to advance technology so that we can save the littlest of the little when they're a so-called wanted baby. And we just, as Americans, continue to turn our eyes away from that reality, that sometimes we mobilize all of the healthcare community to save a baby, and sometimes we look away.
So with only 30 seconds, what will the American people end up with if those like President Barack Obama and his Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius are able to convince those key votes, largely on the Democratic side, like Bart Stupak and other pro-life Democrats, that there is no federal funding in their proposed health care bill? What will we end up with? 30 seconds, Charmaine.
Greatest expansion of abortion since Roe v. Wade.
Dr. Charmaine Yost is president of Americans United for Life. You'll find a link to Americans United for Life at issuesetc.org. Dr. Yost, thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
When we come back, we're going to spend the last half hour of Issues Etc. today with Dr. David Menton of Answers in Genesis. It was several months ago that we brought you a story about a alleged missing link. It looked a lot to me like a lemur. I mean, at least the skeleton did, and that's what many who looked at it thought it might be, an early ancestor of the lemur. And yet those who had unearthed it and studied it said, no, it is a human ancestor, a missing link between one species and another, a transitional form, a genuine bona fide transitional form, kind of the holy grail of human evolution. And yet now, as we'll find out with Dr. David Menton on the other side of the break, that very specimen has been discovered not to have any links to human beings, evolutionary or otherwise. Stay tuned. How are sinners declared righteous before a holy God? Where can we find the presence of God today? How can I discover God's will for my daily life? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Spirituality of the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Gene Edward Veith.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Republican victories dismay abortion advocates, energize pro-life movement.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
When Scott Brown defeated pro-abortion activist Martha Coakley to win Ted Kennedy's Senate seat in Massachusetts, abortion advocates were shocked. Ellen Malcolm, president of Emily's List, perhaps the most well-funded pro-abortion political group in the country, expressed deep disappointment and warned members of a tough election this November. On the heels of last fall's victories by Bob McDonnell in Virginia and Chris Christie in New Jersey, also Republicans, Democrats are preparing for a national backlash against the pro-abortion policies of the president and his congressional leaders.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.